soft voice over and over in my head until I just sit there with satisfaction wrapping around me. "I like you." That's what she said. "I like you, Jenna." Ethan's eyes are softer now, gently focused on mine, like the day I first saw him at the mission. "Sorry," he says. "I didn't mean to be a dickhead." Dickhead? Another word I've lost. It must mean annoying or small-minded. "I didn't notice," I say, which brings another small chuckle from him. "Dane pushes our buttons," he says, "especially mine. Most of the time I try to ignore him." "We're different from others," Gabriel says, like he's admitting something. "But that doesn't mean we're freaks." "Dane has a way with words," Alice adds. Ethan swigs down a big gulp of milk and brings the bottle down like a gavel. "Dane has a way with everything." "He keyed Ethan's truck last week," Gabriel explains. "No one can prove it, but weird things always seem to happen around Dane." "He's missing something. I mean, really missing something," Alice says. Gabriel shakes his head. "He's not like us."
"He's not like anyone," Ethan says. "That's probably why he's in school with us. In that sense, he's right. We all have reasons for needing to come to a small, alternative school. My theory is, Dane's already been kicked out of every school within 1,000-mile radius."
"At least," Gabriel confirms. I don't know what to say. They seem to be releasing every frustration they have about Dane, and yet I found him interesting. Blunt, maybe, but something about him intrigues me. Maybe his honesty? He's the only one who bothered to tell me that I walk funny. Why didn't Claire? And what exactly is funny? I'm glad when Alice turns the conversation from Dane to her. "My reasons for coming to this school aren't so mysterious," she says. "A large campus just doesn't work for me anymore, and a flexible schedule makes therapy easier to work in. At an academy, I would always be missing school. That's one of the reasons I'm here." Alice picks up her sandwich and resumes eating. "Plus, I like the course study better, especially after all this." She gestures with all four limbs. "I have a particular interest in bioethics, and Ray lets me explore that. Why'd you want to come here, Jenna?"
"I didn't exactly want to. My mother chose it. I've been sick, and I don't know how to finish. I still have a lightheaded aversion to saying the word accident. Has mother drilled it into me that deep not to speak about it? Or is there some other reason? But I don't want to lie."
"Accident." I say it much too loudly. "I had an accident, and I'm still recovering."
They all stare at me. My words have come out in halting spurts. "Lovely, Jenna."
You don't have to tell us. And the worst part of it is, I've forgotten everything. I don't remember my parents, my friends, which things I love and which things I hate. I can't even remember which side I parted my hair on. Or maybe it was down the middle. And look at this," I say, pointing at my legs. "I obviously can't even remember how to walk."
"It's okay.
It's all a blank. My life, my parents, my friends. I'm not sure I should even be here. I can't remember anything that matters," I say in a desperate, breathless finish, feeling like I've confessed a sin and I need forgiveness. Their forgiveness. Three friends. Are they friends? Ethan's eyes, at that moment, are the kindest, deepest, safest brown I'm sure I will ever know. I wait for him to absolve me of not remembering a mother who birthed me, a grandmother who saved me, friends who rebelled with me, and a suffocating fear I can't name.
"Jenna," he says. His voice is as soft as a sparrow's beating wing, and I can almost feel the gentle flutter across my cheek. "Thou speakest the loveliest load of crap." He leans close and whispers, "A single, gentle rain makes the grass many shades greener, so our prospects brighten."
He waits expectantly. I lean in closer. He watches my lips, and I let my words trickle out as softly as his.
"On the influx of better thoughts, we should be blessed if we lived in the present always and took advantage of every accident that befell us."
Ethan downs the rest of his milk. 2 points made.
3,
I say. He raises his eyebrows. "You're far more versed in Walden than you let on," I say.
"And not a dickhead at all," I think to myself.
Pieces.
Isn't that what all of life is, anyway? Shards, bits, moments. Am I less because I have fewer? Or do the few I have mean more? Am I just as full as anyone else? Enough?
Pieces.
Alice saying, "I like you."
Gabriel snorting out bread, freeing me to laugh. And Ethan reminding me how much I do know.
Pieces. I hold them like they are life itself. They nearly are.
Fine-tuning.
"Don't forget, I'm coming home with Ethan," I call out to the kitchen. "So don't pick me up."
I walk down the hallway, turn around, and walk back again, watching myself in the full-length mirror. I lift my feet carefully, but it seems overdone. Maybe it's my arms? Do they swing properly? I go back to the end of the hallway and try again. Claire calls back, not to me but to Lily, loud so I can hear.
"Did you hear that, Mom? Jenna's coming home with Ethan. Sounds almost like a date."
I smile. The last few days, Mother has been so cheerful, almost giddy, that school has gone well. Perhaps she sees my life, and hers, coming back to us. I stare at the mirror. I think it's my knees. I walk slowly, willing them into smooth movements. Better. I go to the kitchen.
"It's not a date, Mother. I'm just working at the mission with Ethan until I find my own community project."
Mother tilts her head and rolls her eyes.
"Oh, sure. A community project. I've seen Ethan the last 2 days when I picked you up. He's..."
"Claire," Lily yells, "what's gotten into you? Do you really think it's wise to encourage this? Dating? Think it through."
I glare at Lily. Mother and I are finally having something that resembles a conversation, and she has to put a stop to it. Why does she have to be so annoying? So small-minded? So...
"Don't be such a dickhead, Lily," I tell her.
Mother's jaw drops, and she seems to forget what she was going to say. Lily is silent for a moment and then bends over the counter.
"Laughing? Is she laughing?"
I'm afraid I will never understand either one of them. Jenna Fox, year 14. Since Lily isn't driving me to the mission until 10 o'clock, I continue to fill the morning with the task of walking. I was hoping to have it figured out before I saw Ethan again. I practice in front of the mirror. I move slow. I move fast. I sway my hips, my hands, my chin. I glide. It's all still off. I see that now. Am I trying too hard? I decide to watch the videos. Maybe I'll learn something. Isn't that what Mother says? That it might trigger something? Maybe it will trigger something in my legs and arms so I walk like everyone else. I want to be like everyone else. I saw how Dane looked at me before he saw me clawed my way across the classroom. I liked the way his eyes were fixed on me. Close. Personal. So slow it almost felt like he was sliding his hands over me. It makes me feel different. Familiar. Maybe like the old Jenna. Play,
I say, and the disc follows my command. I get lucky. Year 14 appears to be all about Jenna walking and moving. As with all the discs, year 14 begins with my birthday. I pose next to a street sign, Champs-Élysées, and then run along the street, the Arc de Triomphe as my destination. Paris. Not bad for a 14th birthday.
Hurry, Dad!
I call, but I don't fuss too much. Jenna is so used to every move being recorded at this point that she seems to have surrendered herself to the adoration of Jenna Fox. There's no such thing as hurry for mother or father. I am too important. Why is this Jenna Fox so strong? But I feel less powerful than a single kilowatt. Jenna stops on the sidewalk, a speck in the distance. She twirls, her arms outstretched, her face lifted to a blue and cloud-puffed sky. Strangers passing her, absorbed in her perfect, happy world. Her movements are smooth and assured, her limbs graceful and elegant. Even her fingers look like calligraphy against the sky. Pause. I stand and move to the center of my room. Stretch out my arms. I look at my fingers. They are every bit as lean and delicate as the ones on the disc. I turn. Slowly at first, and then faster. I try to imitate 14-year-old Jenna, but my feet cannot keep up. My ankles collide. I stumble to the side and catch myself on my desk. Nothing has been triggered. I'm still not the nimble Jenna Fox on the disc. I look at my fingers again, the ones that trembled and shook just a few days ago at Mr. Bender's kitchen table. I bring them together, fingertip to fingertip, like a steeple. Each one perfect in appearance. But something is not right. Something that I still have no thing for. It is a dull twisting that snakes through me. Is this a tangled feeling that everyone my age feels? Or is it different? Am I different? I slide my steepled fingers, slowly, watching them interlace. Trying to interlace, like a clutched, desperate prayer. But again, I feel like the hands I am lacing are not my own, like I've borrowed them from a 12-fingered monster. And yet, when I count them, yes, there are 10. 10 exquisitely perfect, beautiful fingers. The New Lily and Jenna. Lily drives. I tap my knee. We don't speak. I watch her from time to time, sideways, when I'm sure she doesn't notice. I look at the lines fanning out from her eyes, the simple knot she has pulled her hair into, and the hastily placed clip that holds it together. She drives me to the mission because of Mother. I figured that out now. Anything she does for me is really for Mother. There's nothing she wouldn't do for Claire. They seem to be at odds right now over me, but I see the way Lily watches Claire, the way she will come up and squeeze her shoulders or hug her for no reason at all, the way they still share something that I'm not part of. I think she loved me once, but it is clear that is not the case anymore. She tolerates me, for Claire's sake, I gather. Occasionally, she is touched by something in our past. I see a crack, like the day I thought I was drowning. But then she puts her rigid exterior back on, like protection against me. Does she think I'm dangerous? That I would hurt her? Would I? I wanted to this morning in the kitchen when she told Claire to stop encouraging me. I think I wanted to hit her. Hard. I could have, but I didn't. Strangely, I want her to like me. I don't know why. Maybe it's just wanting to go back to the way things were, to be the old Jenna, the one I don't know, but the one she loved. We take back roads. The hills are brown, dry, cold, but beneath the dry scruff, spring is emerging. Bright emerald grass contrasts with the brown chaparral that hovers above it. Winter is not welcome in California. It's only the beginning of February, and spring is already forcing its way in. Claire says that she likes the temperate climate, that she'll never go back to the icy winters again, that I will never go either. How does she know? I might. I will not.